tilt of all ages.
Sonoma Sun FM presents. Live from Sonoma, California.
Which, of course, in German means a whale's vagina.
Tim Livingston.
Hey, big time Timmy Jim, what's up?
Pete Livingston.
My name? Tear.
And Sam Livingston.
Yeah, Yosemite Sam. The roughest, toughest he-man, stuffest hombre has ever crossed the Rio Grande.
Taking you into Monday, the only way they know how.
Woo!
With love.
I love you, kick puncher.
Los Livingston Brothers on Sonoma Sun FM. KSVY 91.
Williams for the win. No. This for the win. No. Game over.
Four fouls. It's
here we go. Walker. Lets the three go. No. Parsons. Can't hold on. Butler. Boynton. The Bulldogs do it again. Butler. Down by as many as 11. Coming back. And they're headed to Houston. 74-71. The final.
Is there a better way to start things off than with Gus Johnson? Is there? Because I want you guys to think about this. We've done this show now 12 weeks. I'm pretty sure we started the last four with Gus. March is without a doubt Gus Johnson appreciation.
Thank you, Gus Johnson.
Thank you, Gus Johnson. Los Livingston Brothers. Tim and Pete in studio. Sam, possibly to join us later as he is studying for midterms. Sam understands it is necessary to get the brain going, you know. So he will join us perhaps a little bit later on with some words of wisdom. But for those of you who have these four teams in your final four, you're lying.
Man. You are full
of crap.
Crap,
I tell you. Totally, utter crap.
It's science.
No, it's not. There's no science to this.
Ah, gosh.
I mean, seriously, I'm looking at this. You know,
before we dive into the final four.
Just go ahead.
Can we, real quick, I just want to plug the Sonoma International Film Festival.
Of course you do.
While we can.
Of course you do.
Before we just get wrapped up in Gus Johnson and magic and unicorns.
By the way, it is pants optional. The buzzer has sounded.
As of right now, pants optional. 11:02, pants optional.
Until we say otherwise, it's pants optional right now.
But April 6th through the 10th, we have the Sonoma International Film Festival going on in the beautiful downtown Sonoma area.
Very nice.
And you can go to the Sonoma. We will put a link up on our Facebook page, but you can go to the SonomaFilmFest.com website and get a good look at what's coming to the film festival. A lot of really great documentaries, a lot of great shorts, a lot of great features. Susan Sarandon is there.
Keep talking, Pete.
I will be there. Tim may or may not be there.
I will probably be there in some aspects, although, of course,
intoxicated.
The film festival is when I'm working, so.
Yeah. But we got show movies and Murphys this year. So how phenomenal is that? You think about that.
Yeah. I mean, that really is cool.
Booze and film. A lot of crazy films. Mm-hmm. So it should be fun. It should be amazing. And I think individual ticket prices are going to be like $10.
Cool.
So, you know, it's just like going to any other theater. Actually cheaper probably. But there's going to be a lot of cool stuff, a lot of food vendors, a lot of carts, anything you can think of, they will be there. So hopefully we can get some of you out there that are listening in. Come on by, see a few flicks. drink some good booze, holler at the ladies, or us.
Thank you. Very nice.
Preferably us.
Pants off, if need be. Now, I want to go back to something that happened earlier today that was magical. Very magical. Pete, would you be so kind, since you are on Facebook right now, to please visit my profile?
Ooh.
Please?
See, this is... See, I'm for the... Okay.
All right. So,
I am...
And you might want to do this, too, at home, if you're sitting around and you have a computer.
Look up Tim Livingston. That's what I'm doing.
I have a cowboy hat on.
I've been working all day, and I'm getting ready to go to Santa Barbara for the week, so holler at your boy.
So, let's scroll down, and Pete, I want you to
God, it's a picture with Tim, no pants on.
Yes. So, I want you... Okay. Look, first off, look at the time. Okay. So, this is 12 hours ago.
12 hours ago as of 11:06 a.m.
Okay.
In the a.m.
So this is before the two Final Four games today.
Should I quote this? Get some music going. I want some background music.
Hold on. First off, no, there's a better payoff for this. We don't need backup music now. This is why I brought that up. Now, so Pete can read this, and then he needs to click play on the music.
Okay.
That's going to come up. And it's going to be this one. Now, I'm going to turn this off. You just got to make sure you hit pause on the other side.
Okay.
Click on it. Open it up. Hit pause.
Okay.
All right. Get this ready. Pete, as Peter Griffin would say, dictated, not read. Go ahead.
Am I?
You may. You may go ahead. You may go ahead and play the feud.
My bold prediction of the day. Oh, this is a quote from Tim Livingston. Okay. My bold prediction of the day. VCU upsets Kansas. Athletic on the edges can shoot the three. Their bigs extend people out of their comfort zones. And they can get out and run. I like it. Sticking with it.
For playing the feud, who got the number one answer on the board?
That would be Tim Livingston.
That's right.
How many points did I get?
That's 75 out of 100. Number one answer on the board. Rack 'em.
I love it.
Rack 'em.
I love it.
No joke. No joke. I mean, can you believe that? How ridiculous is that?
As I said, as I commented on your status, if you would have picked them in the Final Four, that would have been more ballsy than just saying, oh, they're going to be Kansas.
In my defense, they weren't there as a team to pick in the opening brackets. There was the combo VCU-USC. You didn't get to pick one or the other.
You should have been able to pick both.
No.
They should give you that option.
No. Man, I'm so hyped right I mean, now. I want you guys to realize how awesome this is to have this power. By the way,
it's a curse.
Stone Cold Lock of the Week will be coming next week. We will give you the Masters winner. Yeah, I think a couple of people very much so very excited about what I brought to the table with that prediction. It was magical. I'm just putting it out there right now. You're not going to get a better prediction than what just happened.
It's kind of hard to beat that.
No, I mean,
outside of being a student from VCU that has them winning the whole thing,
there is a bracket that somehow puts VCU and
but nobody
UConn
has 100%. Right, nobody has 100%.
There's a link. ESPN has one guy that hasn't picked them all, but he's alone in the 100th percentile because he has all four final teams in the bracket, and then he has it's Kentucky and VCU in the final, and
that's
VCU
so ridiculous.
Wins.
That is so ridiculous.
And VCU wins.
That is so ridiculous.
This has to be one of those real like show offy. I'm just going to pick one of the play-in teams to win the whole thing, and now the guy's actually going to get a payoff on it. That's stupid.
That's amazing.
That's not. That's
you're
stupid.
A hater.
I'm not a hater.
Here and call you that.
You think he predicted that today?
The most hating brother.
No.
Yeah, he has him winning the whole thing. Of course he predicted it.
Really?
He's a loyal VCU fan. He's probably like the only person that follows him. And I think the only kind of people that can make that pick, that could be like, dude, Butler and VCU, Final Four, anything, I'll bet my three kids on it. There's only like two kinds of people. One... You're a student there.
The person.
And you are just so hammered drunk from like dollar beer nights that you're just like, I'm going to do my bracket. Screw it. We're taking it all. And then the other person is that guy who now graduated from VCU and he buys all those pay-per-view channels where, you know, you can watch all the college basketball games. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And he has like a $300 cable bill because he watches every mid-major game he can.
And he has,
and he's the only person that's seen every single VCU game, and he's like, there's something about this team.
And he has a game-worn Danny Manning Kansas jersey in his room somewhere.
Mm.
Like, framed.
Those are the only two kind of people that I think that can do it.
Also, number three, someone who just smoked a bunch of meth and just decided to pick a random team. There you go. It's 11:10. By the way, 707-933-9133 if you want to call in and talk about this absolutely ridiculous basketball tournament. I just cannot get over the fact that in the Final Four, you're going to have an 8 seed, an 11 seed, and then on the other side, you're going to have a 3 and a 4. So it's somewhat normal on the other side. But you're going to have, at no worse, an 8 seed playing for the national championship.
Which is pretty cool.
Which is awesome. Now, someone out there might correct me, but I believe the last time a number 8 seed made it to the championship game, 1985, Villanova upsetting Georgetown with that ridiculous
75%
shooting game.
Or 76, one of those.
It was just absolutely ridiculous. And Butler or VCU is going to make some history. VCU even more so if they can figure out how to stop Butler from winning all those close games. It's going to be a fun one on Saturday night for sure.
God bless the mid-majors.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm so glad that some people are like, no, it's just it's stupid, it's a fluke. You know, they want the big schools, they want the big-time conference. I love it, man.
And I think what you're going to see
it's
now...
It's so great.
And there's a lot of people, and this is funny. On the other side of the equation, there's a lot of people who don't like a team like Kentucky because John Calipari goes out and he goes and recruits all these one-and-done type players.
Well,
right?
He's a lot of people don't... I think they loved him at first when he was at Memphis
because
he brought unheralded Memphis back into the spotlight.
Penny Hardaway, how you doing? And when it was Memphis State...
Ooh, that's so gangster.
Wow.
So goalie. Gangster.
Remember, that's you play NBA Jam with Penny and Nick Anderson. Man, you got that locked down.
Lil Penny Hardaway.
Lil Penny, Chris Rock.
Ooh, we might have
out.
To make that a drop on our show.
Basketball Jam!
Love it. What were we talking about?
NBA Jam.
Prior to that. Something about the brackets.
Memphis basketball.
But yeah, a lot John of people Calipari. Don't like John Calipari because he's kind of shady. I think he's kind of shady.
He
seems kind of snaky. At first when you saw him, you're like, oh, he's so lovable. He's such a great guy. But then after a few years, it's kind of like, you know, dude, he seems kind of shady. Yeah. He's just kind of like one and done and probably
to
like
me, he's,
dropping a couple G's on these players.
To me, he's like that mobster guy that's been left out of the family. He's like, you go coach your basketball out in Kentucky or someplace.
Yeah.
You stay away from the
like
family.
Like, he messed up.
Yes,
like
exactly.
He was supposed to do a hit and, like, fell asleep on the job, and they were like, that's it. Hey, Johnny.
Pete, I need...
Go on out to Memphis, huh?
Hey, remember that guy, all right?
Just guy with the thing.
Let him know that I did that thing for him back
forget
in the day.
About it.
Yeah, Fugazi, you know.
So you're looking for the...
I'm looking for
cable?
The headphone, yeah, because... This? Oh, that.
There you go, Tim. Right in front of your face.
You know what?
But,
it's been a long day.
My biggest gripe about the hate on the mid-majors is people say, well, look at their record. You know, if they're so good, why aren't they just rolling through their leagues and, you know, going undefeated and you know, having these great records and why aren't they playing anybody? It's because, like any other good conference, these coaches see each other every single year.
Yeah, exactly.
They know tendencies. Yeah. They know how to beat each other. That's why you don't. That's why the people are like, well, why isn't VCU like undefeated if they're so great? It's because of that reason. It's you like, know, if you play, you know, Jim and Joe every single year for 15 years,
yeah,
you know, people are going to figure you out.
My favorite part is the people. That's the college football sentiment coming through. Like, you know, the Boise's and the TCU's, they can't hang with the big dogs. That type of stuff.
Yeah.
Begins like, now they have the records. Because of the BCS, they have to have the good records to mm-hmm. be a part of the process. And then they go and they say they can, you know, stand toe-to-toe with those guys, which yeah. is really cool. That's the one thing that the BCS has, is that even though it shuns the little guys, when the little guys get a chance and they play up to the big guy standards, mm-hmm. there's no better feeling. There really is not.
I'll tell you what the biggest joke is, though, is the fact that you have 9 teams coming in from conferences.
Yeah, 11 from the Big East this year.
You know, that's
and
that
the
is
one
the
team remaining
joke.
Was the 11th team into the conference for Marquette.
That is the biggest.
Now UConn is the last team remaining.
College. There's got to be a limit on that.
Yeah.
First of all, I would rather have the top 2 mid-major conference teams go in than like 8 or 9 or 10. Mm. From a bigger, like, who
and
cares?
And it's funny that UConn, of all the teams, they were the ones that were embattled early. Remember, they had the whole thing with Jim Calhoun and the mm-hmm. recruiting scandal. And then they go to Hawaii, play in the Maui Invitational, and there's always one team out in Maui. Every year this happens. That
yeah,
goes out
like a Ball State
and plays
like
up. And they play really high up. And it was Kemba Walker who wanted to come out, and he had his coming out party in that tournament. And then UConn just kind of slunkered home to UConn, and they did their thing for a little while. Then Big East play came out, and they got run off the floor early. But then they put a run together late. They won all 5 games in the Big East tournament, and, you know, you're not going to – you can't really ride it. They've won 11 straight. Butler's now won 13 straight.
Butler's one of those teams where...
I mean, good Lord.
I wanted to pick Butler, mm-hmm. but I didn't think that they would have the firepower. Because,
Gordon Hayward.
Gordon Hayward left to the draft, and yeah. I was like, man, you know, they still, you know, they still look good, but it's... Yeah. That dude was legit. Like, that guy was nice.
But now Mac has turned into a good player, solid player. And now I think it's Thomas down low. I can't remember his name. The guy with the really bad mustache.
Howard.
Yeah, Howard. Sorry, Howard. Excuse me, Howard.
Yeah, Howard.
And Brad Stevens is the best basketball coach in college basketball.
Back to back Final Fours, man.
I mean, I'm trying to think of the guys off the top of my head who have done that. I think Izzo, Coach K, Dean Smith, Calipari didn't do it.
UCLA coach Barn. No, what's his name? He got like
Braun.
He's like 3 straight Final Fours.
Oh yeah. The guy who
who's there right now?
Pitt.
He's there right now.
Oh, Howland.
Yeah,
Ben Howland. Yeah. That's
he
right.
Lost
that's
to
right.
Florida twice, and then
yeah,
like,
that
one
poor
other
guy
thing.
Ran into the Florida juggernaut. How about Billy Donovan coming out of nowhere with
I
the team?
I still hate Florida.
I know you do.
Still don't like Florida.
Chomp chomp. It's
still
a great day.
Still don't
to
like
be the Florida Gator. It's
no.
Come on.
That's garbage.
We just,
get out of here.
We just lost the Pete, we lost the jorts wearing demographic.
The fact, if you want to call in and hate on Tim for these two reasons, he's a Florida Gator fan and a Texas Longhorn fan.
Hook him. Houston Street. You're not a fan of Houston Street? Brandon Belt? Texas alum?
I am not.
Wow. I don't know.
First off, Houston Street is not with the A's anymore.
I don't
so
care.
I do not care. He's
Houston
with the,
Street
he's
makes,
with the Rockies.
Houston Street makes funny baseball commercials with creepy bearded men. Yeah.
Give me some music. We got to do Legend of Round Valley.
No. Wait a minute. We got to put.
We can come back, but we got to go Legend of Round Valley.
Can we put basketball to a close first? We got to go to our slow jam of the week, and then we can go. I mean,
we can come back to basketball. Okay. We can do it. Okay, fine.
No. Go, wait a minute.
Slow jam of the week.
No. I have a perfect song for that. Wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on. Wait a minute. 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 Yeah. I think this will work. I think this will work.
Ooh. Is it? Wait, is this for basketball?
No, no. This is for Legend of Round Valley.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. I want you to wrap your arm around that love of yours on this cold night in Sonoma. And I want you to listen to the words of Pete Livingston as he regales you from tales.
Ooh, this looks like a good one.
From Legend of Round Valley.
Which is a book that we found in the bathroom here at KFBY.
Right here at the Sonoma Sun Studios.
This is in no sequential order. We're not going to go through the book. I'm just kind of hopping around finding stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But here we go on page 283. For those of you following at home, maybe you have the book. Maybe you want to read along with us. Page 283. You can turn that up a little bit too, because I love me some Boys to Men. Okay. She looked at him with such a hunger that he instantly scooped her into his arms and kissed her long and slow. Wrapping her arms around him, she pulled him back down to the ground, moaning softly with a newly found passion as she did so. As eager as she appeared, Jesse's instincts warned him to go very slowly with her. Shaky with desire, he started to unbutton her blouse, working awkwardly with one hand. Finally, he was down to the last one when she brushed his hand away and ripped it apart by herself. God dang, woman. Simmer down. The last button went flying in the air while her blouse fell completely open, exposing full voluptuous breast, almost bursting the seams of a black lacy bra which opened in the front. Wow.
Wow. Pete, are you sure you want to go forward?
There's one more sentence. Jesse quickly unhooked the bra and then stared hungrily at her breasts as they fell free of their bondage. And
wow.
Right there.
Yeah, I think the SEC...
Legend of Round Valley's getting a little...
I think the SEC is going to come after us for that one.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's not.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Man, oh man. Doing it all here on Los Livingston Brothers. 707-933-9133 if you have any Boys to Men requests.
So now that we got that, tune in next week. I'll find another good
jeez,
one.
Yeah.
I just flipped the page 283.
I think this book is available on Amazon. Just maybe. I don't know.
Carol Tillotson is her name. Fiction romance. You're welcome, everybody. Los Livingston Brothers, bringing it to you.
Just went, yeah. Yeah, I think we're just getting started, although we might have already ended. I don't know.
Ooh.
It has two meanings.
I kind of blacked. Where were we?
Was the guy's name in the book, Jerome? Because that'd been fantastic.
No, I doubt it.
I doubt it. Goodness. I'm still...
Yeah,
oh, boy. Wow. Did that seriously just happen? Wow. Wow. You have left me speechless after that, Pete.
Yeah, well, you got to find something. Are we going back to finishing up with basketball?
We can do one last thing.
We can talk about the patch with Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
We will, but before we're going to put the basketball to rest. Obviously, March is Gus Johnson Appreciation Month.
God bless you, Gus Johnson.
And, you know, unfortunately, Gus will not be partaking in this weekend's Final Four or national championship games. Unfortunately, those go to Jim Nance and Clark Kellogg. So, unfortunately, Gus will not be there. And, you know, this takes us into our slow jam of the week, and we're just Boys to Men-ing it up tonight. But, you know, the way that March was, where, you know, Gus came out with a flurry, he had himself... quite possibly the best Pac-10 call of the year in the Washington-Arizona final,
right,
with Isaiah Thomas hitting the game winner. segues beautifully into the round of 64, round of 32, and then this weekend in New Orleans, where he was the soul of the underdog. We salute Gus Johnson, saying it is so hard to say goodbye to yesterday, considering that, well, there's no more Gus Johnson Appreciation Month.
We miss you, Gus.
We do. We miss you a lot, Gus. And
he doesn't do baseball, I don't
know. No, he doesn't.
We're going to have to wait till football season then.
Gus Johnson's going to make a preseason football game, if there is a preseason this year. Going to make it worth something. You know what I'm saying?
Should we go and try and be scabs for the NFL?
You know what? We could.
I was talking to the great Bob Midgley today.
Sonoma High School, Sonoma Valley High School athletic director.
Yeah. And I asked him if he and Damian Mignani would like to be scabs for the National Football League in this upcoming season. I told him, hey, get on board with the Niners or the Raiders, local. Do it up this summer. Get into playing shape.
And they said?
They laughed at me.
That's funny.
I think the Gus Johnson soundboard.
It is. It's not up. I really think that whoever is working on it has decided that after today's events, or yesterday's events in this case,
it needs to be updated.
And I think we salute you, young webmaster of GusJohnsonGetsBuckets.com, for wanting to upgrade the greatness of Gus Johnson, although he needs no upgrade in my end. So, but yeah, speaking of football, visitor to the Apple Store this week, the great Koamisi.
Oh,
fantastic.
That's right.
Great playing shape, obviously.
Guy's a
He's a beast.
Monster.
He's a man beast. Only 23 years old. I mean, can people remember that? He's only 23, and he's going to be someone that the Dolphins will be happy to see if they ever start playing football again.
Guy's an animal.
He is.
Oh, man, look at this picture. Intimidating.
Look at that. Bulging muscles. Koa, awesome. Very nice.
God, that guy.
Look at him standing over. That's Buffalo's quarterback. I'm going to say that's Trent Edwards. I'm saying he just made Trent Edwards his lady in waiting.
I was just going to say lady in waiting.
Dang. But yeah, it was cool to see Koa this week. He didn't really get a chance to talk to him, said hi to him. Jason, who produces G5 Radio and the guys at
the
5
Friday
on Fridays.
Five.
You know, Jason, who's listening obviously live, is a understands the element that book brings to so many shows. And if we're stepping on anybody's toes, we definitely do not mean to. We only wish to bring it even further into
the. Yeah,
if
other shows are using it too,
seriously,
then
we might be selling so many of those books, it's not even funny. Not lying. I mean, if two people bought that book because of what we were saying on air because of it, I think we should get some royalties from that.
I think we should.
50 cents. 50 cents a book.
Buy us a beer.
But, you know, Pete, you know, the football, way far away. Basketball, rearview mirror. Baseball, Thursday.
Opening day.
Gigantes y Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw, Tim Lincecum, Dodger Stadium.
First win of the season. Giants.
Calling it right now. Tim Lincecum, 7 innings pitched, 5 hits, 2 earned runs, 1 unearned. Okay. He'll walk 3, strike out 8. And the Giants will win 5-2.
Buster Posey will go 6-for-6.
You know, Pete.
With 5 home runs. In a triple.
In a 5-2 win. They take 2 off the board because he's too good. God, really? 6-for-6, Pete?
That's what I'm going with.
We just lost the Sabermetric listeners in the audience tonight because you just ruined our statistical credibility. I'm trying to bring actual scientific stats to the proceedings. and you spout off nonsense like that.
I was just going to say, I'm like that just like hammered guy that you sit next to at a bar.
Joe Mantegna's the best running back ever. What? Where am I?
No.
Was it gin tonight, Pete? Were you sipping on some gin? Did you got some juice with that gin?
Some cognac.
Okay, fantastic.
Did we show love to the passing of
last
Sunday or
You're
no?
Totally right.
Did we?
I don't think we did. I think we're a week late on that. See, now you're making me having to find something that's radio-friendly that Nate Dogg sings on. R.I.P., by the way.
But we can just post it up on the website.
Okay, we're going to do that.
We'll just do that.
Yeah, so we'll we really would. We'd like to play something with Nate Dogg on it that's radio-friendly, but yeah, not going to happen because, well, I don't have any edited versions of songs that Nate Dogg sings in. But that was kind of sad for people definitely on the West Coast who kind of grew up in our time frame, really started listening to music, early to mid 90s, G-Funk kind of blew up and Dre came out with The Chronic and then Snoop Dogg came out with Dog Pound and it blew up. Nate Dogg was on hooks all over the place and now 41 years old. He had been battling health issues for a while. Unfortunately, passed away last week. So definitely wanted to send our condolences out because you're right. We did not get a chance to somewhat pay tribute at least to the great Nate Dogg.
I miss him.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, it was funny because, Ice Cube said it best on that West Side Connection song. I can't remember what it's called now. It was their big hit, like when they first became West Side Connection. And it said it must be a single of Nate Dogg singing on it. And it's
That's
the
right.
truth, man. Fabulous. He got his first single with Nate Dogg singing on it. Ludacris is, I think, his best single, Area Codes.
Area Codes!
Yeah. So, I mean, he really did. Of course, Regulators, the best song that Nate was ever a part of with Warren G. So, Nate Dogg, rest in peace, man. It was,
R.I.P.
You
Nate
were
Dogg.
A formative person in my musical listening, and I thank you for it. Now, before I cry, we're kind of moving right along here. Pete obviously has been all up in the grills of the Marvel vs. Capcom. It's funny to think this game's only been out, a month?
Weeks? No, it's been more than a month.
February 15th, so it's been about 5-6 weeks, maybe.
That's
five
it?
And a half. Yeah, isn't that
wow,
something?
So
yeah,
like so much longer.
But we went over final round when that happened, but the next big tournament's still it's a month away or so.
Let's bring up the Evo 2K.
See if they have a
tournament schedule.
I think they have a finalized schedule. Hey, the roster has been announced.
The next one looks like it's the
Power Up. Yeah, Power Up, and of course, Dogface is going to be all over that. Pretty sure that's right up his alley. And then, of course, Ultimate in Chicago in May. Internationally, Ozhadu Nationals 9 in Sydney. That determines kind of like the Western Pacific Rim area. And then the Montreal Annual Tournament 8 in Montreal. That's June 4th. The CEO Championship in Orlando. Ooh. That's on June 10th, and then 6 days after my birthday in Milpitas, second year now, NorCal Regionals.
Which I plan, I'm
going
to go to.
I'm going
year.
To that.
I'm going to go this year.
Pete, should I bring a belt? Should we bring the belt?
We can donate a belt to NorCal Regionals.
I still.
Do you want to do that?
I think we should do it for Evo. I mean, I think if we do it to NorCal Regionals, it kind of loses the luster. I mean, does it make sense? I mean, shouldn't the big gold belt be there? For
how much are they? How much are the big gold belts?
Let's take a look. Anyone have any idea on how much?
Ooh, if you had to get it, this kind of dives over into wrestling, but you have to choose one of the heavyweight titles to use. Which one do you use?
Oh, the big gold belt, without a doubt. what used to be the NWA World Heavyweight Championship.
The NWA?
Well, way back after... the NWA used to be this rectangular belt, all right? Then when WCW...
This one?
Yeah. It used to be that belt, okay? So that belt was the NWA World Heavyweight Championship for years and years and years, all right? Then WCW splits apart from the NWA in 1989, all right? They have to come up with their own championship belt, and so the big gold belt, which is now seen as the WWE World Heavyweight Championship belt, all right, that's the one that Ric Flair wore all those years. Sting wore it, all right? Then again, this is what happened. Flair takes that belt with him to then WWF in 1991, saying that he holds property on that belt because he put a deposit on that belt.
That's not the belt, though.
That's not the belt, though. So what you need to look up...
God, we're totally nerding out.
No, this is nerding out. I'm talking about... See, that's the belt I'm talking about.
That's not the one that we were just looking at, though.
No, that's not. I'm trying to tell you the story of what happened, right?
I like this one a lot better.
So when WCW became an entity, they wanted a belt to signify they were moving away from the NWA, okay? So they get the big gold belt, all right? That becomes the World Heavyweight title. Then when Ric Flair leaves the company after a big hullabaloo in 1991, he takes that belt with him because of the fact that he put a deposit on that, and he says that it is his belt to own, all right? Takes it with him to the WWF, sells it as the real world title, all right? So then after that dispute is finally over with, the belt is annulled until he returns to WCW with it in tow. And then a few months after he comes back, WCW establishes what's called the International Heavyweight Championship. All right. Then Flair and Sting have a match at a Clash of the Champions to merge the belts. And that WCW title belt that was around for about 2 years or so goes by the wayside, and the big gold belt replaces it. And it's been that belt ever since. So the big gold belt, like the one that Aaron Rodgers had at Super Bowl,
everybody has that one.
You got to go with that. Now, that one specifically, I don't want that one. You can get a belt like that a lot cheaper than
instead
at that price. Yes.
Yeah.
So anyone who knows where to get the World Heavyweight Championship belt.
I kind of like the OG WWF.
No, that is a good belt. They had that
top
belt.
Like early 90s WWF.
No, they had that late 80s. I mean, Hulk Hogan had that belt for a while. Anyone have your favorite championship belts of all time? Any sport, pro wrestling, boxing, UFC... if you like won a baking contest and you were presented with the championship belt, you may totally bring that to our attention, 707-933-9133. But I still think we need to bring a belt to Evo, and I think you should put a poll.
Well, we'll talk.
Put a poll up on Shuriken and be like, hey, we want to bring a belt for the overall champ at Evo this year. And we will take donations for the belt. We will provide the belt. We just ask that the winner of said belt makes an appearance that evening, that Sunday night, on those Livingston Brothers. That's all. That's the trade-off.
Well, I mean, we'll have to see. I mean, we'll have to look at the pricing of it.
Yeah, we'll take a look at it.
But the thing is, the belt would have to come back each year, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Yes, the belt has to come back each year.
We did it like a one-time thing.
So.
And then we can get like the, you know, you can get it engraved. And that'd be pretty gangster. Mm-hmm.
That would be pretty gangster, that pretty sure.
That's pretty cool.
You can get the gold buckles that go on the front, the screw in with the gold screws.
Yeah.
Be badass.
I kind of like that.
Pete, what do you got for us on the video game side of things?
Well, I am posting to the website. There is a petition going around. People are trying to get Darkstalkers remade, because they came back with Street Fighter, and they're coming back with Mortal Kombat. They're bringing all these fighting games back. They're trying to get enough momentum to get Darkstalkers. So
very cool.
There's been a petition going around to get this. They're trying to get at least 500,000 signatures. They only have 100,000. So just getting this out there, trying to share it with people. If people, anybody played, what's it called, Darkstalkers.
Yeah.
And if you're a fan of it or if you just support
the
fighting game community.
We spent many quarters at Roundtable Pizza playing Darkstalkers way back in the day.
So, you know, we're just going to post that on the website. And if somebody would like to pass it on to somebody else, they are more than welcome to. Get some people to sign it. I played Darkstalkers. I wasn't as big of a fan as compared to
some,
you know, Street Fighter and stuff like that. But it's still a fun game.
I like Dimitri.
It's still a fun game.
He was fun.
But
everyone likes Morgan because of the boobies.
Yeah, why? How could you not, you know?
Well, I mean, they're there. They're there.
But outside of that, you know, they just had a patch release from Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Really basic stuff.
The biggest thing that everybody's talking about is the nerf that they did the Sentinel. And they brought him down. He was leading in life, I believe. He had like 1.35 million.
No, I thought he was at 2. I'm pretty sure he was.
He was not at 2.
The official strategy guide is at 2.
He's not at 2 million life. Okay. That's ridiculous. He wasn't at 2 million. He was like 1.35. And they brought him all the way down to like 900.
Well, so, wait a
minute. And like 80,000.
Wait a minute. So what I don't understand is why that is the case, considering that, like, who's the second guy with health has to be Hulk at this point, right?
I think it's Thor.
Thor?
I think
Thor.
Which
is really odd.
Well, he's slow and he doesn't have a lot of options.
Well, same
so he's
as Hulk. But
no, Hulk's more mobile. Hulk is more mobile.
You know, at the same time, what are they now going to up, like, you know, Phoenix's stuff now because he was so low?
The thing is, they're trying to compensate for the high offensive output.
Obviously.
You know, it's a balance that if you're doing a whole ton of damage, which Sentinel is capable of doing,
mm-hmm.
and you have the ridiculous hit points,
yeah,
that's the theory of being too overpowered, especially when they throw an X-Factor and everything else. People think that, you know, maybe it's not fair.
Just use Wolverine. God tier, right?
Well, I don't know. But that's the biggest change is that, you know, they knocked off like 450,000 health points from Sentinel and
made him
super squishy.
I didn't have trouble beating your Sentinel. I mean,
that's because I don't play Sentinel.
Well, now.
I tried him for like the first week and a half of the game and
Like I said, when we were talking with both with Neo and we were talking with Dogface. We got some really good feedback on who's being played right now, and I think I'm a big fan of parody in games like these. I think, you know, you and I saw it especially like in Third Strike when you have the same two or three characters being used,
mm-hmm.
it just gets repetitive and dull, and it totally takes away any semblance of competition.
Well, he was one of the... I mean, they had detailed patch notes that people were discovering. They took out a few of the infinites.
Uh-huh.
Actually, they took out a lot of the infinites. And the biggest thing was Tim with the yawn, gut punch.
Off microphone, you bastard. You almost made me spit up all over myself.
But
God, punch you in the throat. I would punch you right in the mouth.
Oh, but the nerfing of Sentinel was one that, just because there's such a huge outcry, and it's just weird. I don't know. I don't know if you should patch it 1 month into the release of a game.
Considering the game had been tested for what, a year?
Well, I don't know, but it's...
Were people really...
They have quality assurance testers with people that try and break the game. But even then, with anything, it's not just video games. If people outside of just a small group...
Very nice.
Try and figure something out. You know, you give it to a mass audience, you know, a mass group of people, they're going to be able to figure it out and figure out things that smaller group couldn't find. And that's what was happening. There's this one guy on Shuriken, his name is Desk. He's been putting out these just ridiculous videos.
Yeah, I need to get on that.
He was basically almost single-handedly just kind of breaking the game, figuring out infinites and glitches. And the community's really been picking the game apart. And I guess, I don't know. Some people gripe about it. I don't really know yet. It's hard to tell. I think it would have been more nice to see how everything played out at a major. Maybe after Evo.
Then, I mean, final round was a pretty good test, and we didn't see many Sentinels in teams. There weren't too many mm-hmm. Sentinels in teams. Like I said, I think it's still a bit too early. I think what you have is you have a lot of people who, watched MVC2 videos and saw all these Sentinel teams and said, oh, we're going to use Sentinel. And they were, just copycats, and basically just using the same type of stuff in MVC3. And it got to the point where people were like, okay, this is getting dumb. But was there that much of a hit point discrepancy for Sentinel and 2? I don't think there was.
Sentinel had the same hit points pretty much in 3 prior to the patch as you did in 2. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons why he was God tier in 2 was because he was really fast with fly, high damage output, one of the highest in the game, mm-hmm. and had really high hit points. Yeah. And when people figured out how to really utilize, wave dashing in his fly, that's when everybody really started using
him. Yeah, and then it became...
But even then, it was more difficult. He's kind of a hard character to use. But I think one of the reasons why you're seeing so many people in 3 is because it's character familiarity.
Yeah, everybody was... For a long time, it was...
why you see a lot...
It was Magneto Storm Sentinel.
And you still see... People are still playing Magneto, and people are still playing Sentinel. And that's
still playing Storm.
And that's the thing. Yeah. It's just going to take time for people to really dive into the other characters, the new characters... And see who's worth playing. I mean, and that's how it is with everything. People want to stick with... That's right.
That's right. Get Magneto up in that. Man, we need to get him on. I bet he'd come on.
Yipes, we can probably get
if he wants to wake up at 2 in the morning.
That's true. I don't know. They have those crack sessions, man, out there in New York. They got the crack sessions. They'll probably be playing till like 5 in the morning.
Yeah, Yipes just like... By the way... Yipes all over the Knicks right now, and the Knicks not doing too well, but we won't even talk about the Knicks. We just lost the Sean O'Neal demographic.
Well.
Yeah. So, I'm very happy for Tuesday because Tiger Woods 12 drops, and for the first time in any video game in history, you get to play Augusta. Pete, find the music and play it, please.
Okay.
Just please.
Entertain our people while I...
I mean, I'm just telling you. When you think about some of the greatest moments in sports, Jack Nicklaus walking down the 18th green at 86, obviously, winning his 18th major.
You know what I think it's time for, Tim?
I think it's time for great times in Masters history with Tim Livingston. Full music playing over the background.
No, I think it's time for Tim to do golf commentary. We haven't done this since week 2. You're doing it right now.
What okay? do I commentate?
I'll tell you. Okay? Let's see.
Commentate you okay, reading okay, the legend okay, of
hang
Round
on,
Valley?
Hang on. Okay?
What?
All right. Are you ready? Ready? Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1... Ladies and gentlemen, this is Peter Livingston. We come to you live from Las Vegas, Nevada, here at the Rio. I'm going to take you to Tim Livingston at the entertainment room where there is a money match going on between Neo and Yipes.
Yes. Now, of course, you've heard it, and we heard this a lot. Yipes has been just talking smack all day. Ain't no this, ain't no that. Blank the Knicks.
Tim, not in character. You're doing it golf style.
How do you expect me to do this golf style?
You have to.
I can't.
You're doing it now. Just go with it.
I can't. Oh, wait. There's a wave dash by Sentinel. I can't do this. NBC, Pete.
Can you describe what the players are doing?
Neo is, he's wearing Knicks colors, which is funny. I really find that hilarious, considering he's from Santa Barbara, of all places. Yipes somehow found a patch, and he's playing with three Magnetos. And of course, he's wearing a jacket with a can of Pringles on the back. But instead of the curly mustache guy on the front, if you ever notice, it's customized Magneto helmet with Magneto's face and a Raleigh Fingers mustache. Very stylish. It's 8-6 right now. Neo's won the last three. And Neo deciding that if they're going to do three Magnetos, he's going to do, let's see. He's going to go with Weapon X. He's going to go X-23. He's going to go Wolverine. But he's going to throw a curveball in there. He's going to go with MODOK. He's going to go with probably the weakest character in the entire game, MODOK. And he's going to start off with him, and, well, he's just floating there. And Yipes, he's not even moving. He's just kind of laughing at him, just pointing and laughing. And then...
somebody just threw a beer can at the competitors.
At the screen. Now Yipes has turned his attention away from the game, and he's yelling at the person who threw the beer can. Yes, oh, Yipes has left. He has stood up, and he is now walking over towards the man with the beer can. The beer can has his hands over his head, walking backwards. Yipes now hurrying up. Now he's running after him. Camera guys, we might want to get away from this. I think this might get ugly. It's not pretty. Pete, back to you.
Thank you, Tim.
That sucked.
You had it going for a little bit.
How the hell do you expect me to do Masters golf coverage for an NBC3 money match when you and I have been a part of one where it was so hype? You expect me to do golf commentary over it?
Oh, yeah. No, you had it going. You're doing it fine. You were fine.
I give myself a 4 out of 10.
Yeah, maybe. You had it going for a little bit. You were doing fine.
I should have thrown in
with the descriptions, and
I should have thrown in a Havad Khan reference.
Yeah, okay. See, you had it. You had the material to work with.
I was not prepared.
It's okay. I was just testing you, seeing how you could do on the fly.
Thank you. Thank you for testing me with something completely.
Sam Livingston chiming in from home, not studying, listening, and he says. That was awesome, Tim.
By the way, Sam dropping a That's What She Said a couple minutes ago also. Oh, very nice.
Got to love it.
Very nice. By the way, on The Office, if you haven't noticed, with Steve Carell leaving the show, Will Ferrell has stepped in.
Oh, dude, you ruined it for me.
You've been at... okay, Pete, you don't have a job except for Saturday and Sunday. And you're sitting there... and you're sitting there saying, you ruined it for me. You've had more opportunities.
I'm three seasons back.
Okay. First off.
Are you caught up? No.
No. You think I care? No. Current events. Tiger's blood. Winning.
Man,
duh.
That crap's cold-blooded, man.
No, it's not.
It's cold-blooded.
Pete's all over the interwebs.
I haven't been paying attention.
I fart in your general direction.
Man.
You do realize you gotta...
I'm so hype right now.
Why are you so hype right now? Because I just farted?
Because you just totally just ruined everything. It's all right. That's cool, though.
I didn't ruin
anything. Because I still don't know what he was doing on there.
Nobody knows. Man. I just said two names.
If I told Will and Ferrell.
Will and Ferrell, yes. By that I mean Ted Bundy. See, that's the type of stuff I was trying to do during a money match.
No, you have to do golf commentary. If I said, give me Gus Johnson March Madness.
Oh,
Gus Johnson at Evo.
Oh, my God. G4, since you're covering Evo this year, if you can pry Gus Johnson away in Royal Finals for two games, for Super Street Fighter 4 and for Marvel Capcom 3, just for those two.
Have him do, and it doesn't matter, any game.
Have him do the Blue Blaze side tournament.
BlazBlue.
BlazBlue.
He had him backwards. Blue Blaze. Sam Livingston eating ice cream with no pants on.
Sam cares.
People listen without pants on.
You know, as long as there's no pants, there's no worries. Okay, there's actually a lot of worries without any pants on, but we're getting to that later, kids. We're closing it down. And, you know, in the weeks to come, we're going to, obviously, since Evo Tournament is, tournament season's getting into fruition, we'll have to revisit some people to come back to the show and talk about it. And we're also going to get Eric R. back in here. WrestleMania is 2 weeks away, Pete. We might have to do our WrestleMania review extravaganza.
Well, we're going to get
him and Neo.
We'll get Neo back on for the... I'm still saying, people are saying Taker's going down. That's BS.
No.
You got the...
By the way, you
got the streak going. You can't break that, man.
By the way.
Then again, Vince McMahon would be the only dude that would do that, though. Send him out on a low note.
Pete, tell me you've heard this.
Yeah, the Johnny Cash song.
Yeah. How awesome is this song?
It's an awesome song.
And this is the thing I talked about. I'm not a big fan. I'm not a big fan of the American recordings. I love old Johnny Cash. But this song is absolutely epic. We're going to sit back a second.
When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm going to rise right out of the ground.
Johnny Cash.
Ain't no grave can hold my body down.
Gully.
Well, look way down the river. What do you think I see?
I mean, that's seriously, that's incredible. The chain gang and a noise in there. Me.
Ain't no grave can hold my
the banjo
okay,
that's
okay. Okay.
I mean, that's awesome. No
got a text from the old lady friend saying she wants me to give Angry Birds a shout out during the video game set. And I will. Angry Birds. Probably. I don't know if it's the greatest thing I ever introduced to her or the dumbest, but she is a Angry Birds fiend, and she is pretty good. I'm not going to lie. Angry Birds.
Y'all need to get up some Tiny Wings.
It's a fun game, though.
Got to get up
lie.
On some Tiny
Angry
Wings.
Angry Birds is fun.
Got to get up on some Tiny Wings, man. Tiny Wings, where it's at. By the way, had two drafts today. Very not happy with the first draft because my keeper stunk.
Shout out to Angry Birds.
Very happy with the second draft I did in the Apple Store Fantasy League.
Gotta love that. You gotta love Angry Birds.
Gotta love Angry Birds. Angry Birds Real coming out in a couple weeks here.
It's already out.
Already out.
She has it and she's playing it right now.
Chelsea, listen. I dreamed it in my head.
Okay, real quick. Sam Livingston, give me some music. Sam Livingston, Words of Wisdom. He just sent it in via Facebook. We got to get this out there. I'm going to Santa Barbara tomorrow. I am hype. I am ready. I want to go have some fun. It's going to be 80 degrees. Beaches. Maybe some brewskis. I'm feeling sushi. Sushi sounds good. I'm just ready for a road trip. I need this. Put me on blast, working 2 days a week. Get out of here.
Put you on blast.
All week Rita, long. Yo! Film festival. Oh.
Soldier boy, tell.
All right. The truth of space and time moves through the universe like a wave. The truth speaks through space and matter and makes itself known to human beings.
Wow. Man, I'm telling you right now.
Talorama.
I'm telling you. The fact that I played that song over that quote makes me feel a little dirty and sad. We're almost done. We are coming out of here on Los Livingston Brothers. Another week in the books. Oh, my. It's April next week when we come back. It's April.
Holler at your boy.
We love y'all. Thank you for joining us. We will see
I'm
you.
I'm going to Santa Barbara, son.
Say hi to Neo. We'll see you in a week. Take care, everybody. And until next time, we're out.